Right. Good morning, everyone. We have a big session ahead of us. We're going hardcore on BI and the investments in from Microsoft in the BI world. I remember a few years ago at TechEd, I said something along the lines that Microsoft had fallen asleep at the BI wheel, and I wasn't quite abreast of the massive investments that were going on under the covers. So I'm pretty surprised I even got this session, but I'm happy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through the history of where we've got to. I want to talk through three key scenarios. I've kind of divided up into like the what does the knowledge worker get? You know, Mary the receptionist. What does the power user get that, you know, configures all this stuff up and doesn't code? And what does the, you know, developer get? There is, you know, obviously there's, I guess there's one more role. There's the guy that builds the cubes and provides a lot of the infrastructure underneath the covers, you know, the Greg Lowe type person. I won't be covering that part. So I'm just going to be talking about Power BI from the other three scenarios, but there's a heap of it. And I'm also going to put some of my thoughts about where they're going based on the roadmap I can get talking to all the Power BI guys, the MVPs, and the owner of Power BI, James Phillips. How many people in here are kind of like, of those three scenarios I just told you, who are most interested in what does Mary, the receptionist, the knowledge worker get? Who's really keen on that scenario? Okay, so almost half. How many people are interested in what does the power user get without coding all the configuring or developing reports? Oh, okay, so we've got 80% there. And what about what does the developer get how to take advantage of Power BI in their application? Oh, we've got a couple of double hands. Developers are cheaters, but it did look like that was the biggest community in the room, but it's hard to tell sometimes. All right, so we've got... What I'm going to do, I did not write this one. This is what happens when you give your slides to someone else to do. And I didn't steal any pregnant lady's chocolate because I didn't know she was pregnant. All right, so here's my plan. We're going to go through a bit of history, the Power BI additions, and then up and running with the knowledge worker and then the power user. And then what does the developer get? And then my favorite bit, the roadmap ahead. So, the history of reporting. I got a few evals in the last one that told me that they don't like hearing the history. And I have done history for many years, and I wondered why I do it. I thought about it when I read the third eval telling me not to do any history. But when I was young, I had my very first choice of electives, you know. I had to choose between geography and history. And I remember asking my mum, oh, which one should I choose? And she said, choose geography. So I did. And she said, you don't want to choose history. That's all happened in the past. There's no point learning any of that stuff. So this is because I'm always upset with my mum for telling me that. All right. So in 1987, Excel... We were doing reports in that with VB, and we had Crystal, and then we had Access came out with the great report writer. And then this thing we probably didn't even know about, these Kiwis were developing this thing called R. Any Kiwis in the room? One, proud. Is there any? Oh, two, three. Yeah, they usually just, all right. Then we got OLAP, and then we got analysis services and data mining, and then we got .NET came out, and we were still kind of going with Crystal reports. Is there any Crystal report lovers in the room? Come on. Come on, where are those two Kiwis? Stand up. Okay. All right. So then we got reporting services. Reporting services, most people think of reporting services as when it shipped in the box, which was 2005, but it actually came a bit earlier because if you remember SQL Server 2005 was very slow at releasing. And then, that's 10 years ago, we got Performance Point. That was great. That was going to be an automatic thing on top of cubes. And this company, Revolution Analytics, started up, built on R. Okay. And Performance Point, came out. I think the biggest change in that was they took off the space from the name or something. Then we got investments in Excel. We got things like Power Pivot, but it was the first time we saw something called Tabular, and we were doing this thing called DAX instead of working with cubes, but we're doing it on the client side. Telerik reports came out, we started using a lot of that. Then analysis services included Tabular. So all of a sudden we could scale up machines a lot more. We got PowerView in Silverlight. We got integrated mode, and we're probably all thinking about integrated mode with SQL Server reporting services as a WTF moment, because that was a bit of a waste of our time. Then we got Power Query in 2013. We got Power Pivot, which was great, Power Map, and then Office 365 came out with this natural language querying across our data. And then they released this data management gateway to push data up to the cloud, and Data Zen. Data Zen came about because Microsoft were a little bit sleepy with mobile solutions, and these guys jumped in there, and we all wanted to look at data on our phones, and we all still do. Now, what I didn't realize at this point in time when I was doing a lot of whinging about not enough investments is this Power BI was released, and Power BI was actually in development for a few years. Microsoft then acquired DataZen, so they got a mobile story, and they acquired Revolution Analytics. We got Azure Machine Learning, it's pretty awesome. And then, here's the big news, 2016, which is coming, SQL Reporting Services is going to get some love, okay? Okay, so that's awesome, and you're going to see a lot of R integration everywhere. That's the story. Now, this guy is the boss of Power BI. He's a very approachable guy. In fact, he started back in 2012. He's the owner of data, basically he's the creator of Power BI, and he's the owner of all the data. He owns over 2,500 people. It's close to 3,000 now. So he's got a big portfolio at Microsoft. He's great on Twitter. In fact, I sent him an email last night. I wanted to ask him a couple of things about a client project and a few things about what I'm allowed to say today. And I thought, can I talk to you in the morning when you get up? And it was 5 a.m. in the morning. He just writes back and says, call me right now. So he's up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I thought it was crazy. But he says something along the lines of, you know, the goal of Power BI, the goal of BI in general is to give a face to data and to allow people to explore data and make good decisions. And he often will say that when you're asking him for a lot of features that, you know, kind of go outside the core of what he's trying to do. Now, I'm going to just give you a couple of little bits of information before I get on to Mary the Knowledge Worker. But I did encounter this for some years, and I would say, hey, the reporting services portal isn't good enough. I have all these suggestions to make the reporting services portal much better. And the answer would come back is, but we have a portal already. I said, where's the portal? What portal are they talking about? SharePoint. Okay, you don't know? SharePoint is the answer. The question is irrelevant. Okay? But that was always a painful thing because they wouldn't invest in the reporting services portal. And I found that the SharePoint being the story for data, I found it awkward because it didn't resonate with all clients. Clients that invested heavily in SharePoint were super happy. Clients that hadn't, they were not happy. So I mention this for you because SharePoint is not the story anymore for data. It's Power BI. Also, you're going to start noticing R. So, you know, you may as well get with the story and start reading little bits of R when you come up with it. It's huge in the analytical world and stats world. And we're going to start seeing it cross over into our world a lot. Anyone enjoy used to writing expressions in this? Just the two Kiwis. Yes. Okay. So we won't be doing that. That style of thing is going to be going away. Now, I always used to remind all the reporting services reports you look at, one of the biggest problems of this is it ends up having stuff to do with data. That's the golden rule. That should only be formatting, all right? Only to make yourself look good, not to manipulate the reports. And you'll get to see how important that is with Power BI. Now, the file formats, we've been working with Excel for a long time. Okay, that won't go away. It's great for massaging data. Reporting services had RDL, and that was human readable, and that had all the everything about the report except the data. When you think about Power BI now, if you use it on the client side, if you decide to use it on the client side, then we have these PBIX files. And the PBIX files, not that you really need to know all this, but it includes kind of all the RDL stuff plus the data. So parts of it is not human readable anymore. Okay, so that was RDL. And that is, if you look at Explorer and you look inside a PBIX file, you'll see, you know, these data models, and they can be quite enormous. The other thing that's quite different about the way they've done this is the way they're pricing it or licensing it. You get a free version and you get a pro version. Now, when you start looking at what I'm going to do today, and I'm going to do a lot of stuff, I'm going to walk you through a number of scenarios, you will see that almost everything I do is in the free version. And I've just taken this from Microsoft's pricing site because it's just pretty incredible that you can do almost everything. Now, I work for a company called SSW, and we're just a small company of 50 guys, but we can't live on the free version. So obviously bigger companies than us are not going to be able to. We need to consume data live. We want to be able to see that stuff. And we need the data gateways. And we want organizational packs or groupings of reports. And I'll walk you through that type of stuff. But having said that, I just want you to be aware that a lot of you are going to be very happy with what you get for free. Okay? All right. One thing the free is a gig. And you probably won't be used to understanding how much data you're using. So that will be a new change. And the way you just click on this little cog here to look at how much data you're using. It's just a different paradigm, I guess, on how you're built. And so you can also go in here and then look at what is owned by you, how many, you know, what you've got. So you're just going to be abreast of data size when you weren't in the past. All right. Now, I'm going to guess that this Power BI, how many people are actually using Power BI in their company already? Okay, so we've got about 30 or 40% of you. That's pretty good. There is Tableau. Anybody using Tableau? Okay, just got a few hands. Okay. I'm going to guess that the way that Microsoft, when they released this, being a pretty substantial product at pretty good pricing, scared the bejesus out of some of these competitors, even though they have pretty awesome solutions themselves. Tableau, I noticed, released a free version called Tableau Public. It's a 1 million row limit, but all your data has to be public. So when I realized that, I wasn't as excited. And IBM Watson, anyone using IBM Watson? No, not a soul? One. Okay. Well, they got a free version, but that's limited to 500 megabyte and Excel data only. So, all right. But anyway, I'm sure that some of the other competitors will be doing something similar. So let's talk about up and running in the browser and sharing our data. Now, James Phillips' goal, he said, and I thought it was interesting, he said, my goal is just to have a 5-minute story where they're already at wow. Like, I want, you know, he didn't say marry the receptionist. He talks about, who do you think his basic user is? Satya. Yes, you're right. So I think about her. He thinks, he always refers to this. And I was always confused. But his story is, I want somebody like that to be able to know where their data is, connect, and in 5 minutes already be at wow, seeing their own data. So I'll just talk you through a scenario that person might do. Now, I'm going to use the example of Google Analytics. You wait a couple minutes to load, you review the dashboard, and then you can do some customizing. And then, once you've found some cool data in your company, you'll want to share it, right? You can set up some data alerts, because when things go bad or good, you want to be alerted to it. All right, so let's talk about this. This is Google Analytics. I've just taken some reports from our company. There's some Google Analytics there. Now, imagine I was storing all this data, but I didn't have Google Analytics. What can Power BI give me? So I create a new dashboard. I come in here and I go, File New. Where's File New? So down the bottom left, we click Get Data. We click that. We come into here. And now we have to choose. I would say this is the first part that I'm not happy with, because I think this services should be the banana, the big banana that she goes into. So anyway, you click on this guy. You've got a 25% chance of being right at least. You click on that guy, you come in here, and then you find, what type of data am I looking for? Google Analytics. And so these are all the built-in ones. So I'll click on Google Analytics. I'll click on Connect. I'll come in here and I'll enter the data. I've just put a little screenshot of what you choose when you're setting up Google Analytics. So I put in SSW Bootcamp and the property and the view, and then I press Next. Then you sign in with OAuth 2. You press Sign In. Now, be aware, we're not... when you press Sign In, this is a Google authentication, all right? So your data's not all going to Power BI. We press Accept, we go through, and then we have a coffee. After 2 minutes, you'll come back and look at your dashboard. And this is the out-of-the-box experience. You'll see that. So I guess that is essentially when he's talking about his 5 minutes to wow. You just go in, you connect to your data, and you're good to go. Now, when you look at these things, anyone remember the proper name? I call them tiles, but they've got a proper name. Anyway, so they're not even really tiles. They're kind of just images. I have spoken to James about this. This will become interactive. They'll end up probably being little bits of JavaScript stuff. But at the moment, these guys are images. So I look at this stuff, and let's just say I look at that and go, hello. Internet Explorer is higher than I expected. So I come... That's not what you'd say, of course. So you click on this guy and you go further in, and now you're in off the dashboard and into the report. And I wish over here, if you look at the prior screen, you know, it actually says it has labels here, but when you go into here, these are interactive. Now this is alive. I wish it said Chrome or Chrome here so it was clearer, but anyway, that's the equivalent of what was there. Now we could switch our dashboard, choose this to go into the other one. We can modify this around, but this is the out-of-the-box experience. Okay, so we can click on this guy. When you click on, say, IE, it would filter these guys down. So this is alive, unlike the dashboard. All right. So what's the next thing you might want to do? You find some cool data, and then you might want to share it. So you come in here. Now, I mention this because your first experience might be just to copy the URL. That's not the case. And then you click on the dashboard you want to share. You come in here, and then you click this guy, and then share. And good to go. Now, I did this for a while before I never even noticed this share dashboard. So there is actually a better way. Okay, so you share, and now you can share it with anyone. In fact, also the people can choose to share that on with others if you give them that permissions. Okay, so you can share this with anyone, just like that. And then you enter some email addresses, you allow other people to share, and then you press share, and you're good to go. The other thing, and this is a bit weird, you can set up alerts, but only on an iPhone. Obviously, they didn't use Xamarin, did they? No. So you can set up alerts on an iPhone, and obviously Android and Windows Phone are coming, and the browser. All right, so we can open a report, we can filter, we can't do full drill down, because the hierarchies are missing. We don't have full hierarchies, although that's coming. No drill through. We do have sharing, and we've got data alerts. You can't copy and paste the URL, and you can't add images into the report. Now, I should be clear, the updates for this product are coming thick and fast. And in the last week, they've allowed you in the browser to add images. But when I did this, you couldn't add images. Now, the problem that I have is you can't even make a lot of basic changes to the report. So that report, you can't go and, rename columns or add lots of things. So you're kind of limited at that point in the browser. So, and by the way, I've just put a link here to drill through. Now, a couple of tips for that knowledge worker. Keep the name short. Generally rename on the left-hand side, rename the dashboard, the report, and the data set together. Hide the workspace. Like, you often see people using it, trying to use it, but there's a big left nav and a big right nav. So hide those off. It's not that obvious just to do that. Get your boss to buy you a 4K display. That is probably the best thing you can do. Anyway, she's up and running and he's up and running. So that is that story. Let's talk about this guy. Okay, this guy is the guy in your company. How many people in this room is the guy where everybody comes to do any configuring, you know, once they get past that? So we've got, right, that poor bugger that's always the bottleneck. So this guy, his goal is to go and get the data, do a lot of modeling, and then report. Now, if you're thinking about reporting services, you spend a lot of time trying to get reports exactly right. If you think about the amount of time you spend formatting and stuffing around and giving it to the client, and this is not quite right, going back, and all those little baby changes, hitting limitations in reporting services, it's not the same world. It's a different world. You spend very little time on formatting and a lot more time on the data modeling, okay, because you can't do as much. All right, so Power BI Desktop, and this is a standalone desktop app. It works without Power BI, and I mentioned this because I didn't notice this at first. You get this client, and you think it's a client to do all the advanced stuff in the portal. But this is for anybody to take data offline. You could be obviously jumping in a plane and then working with all your reports locally. You could not want to use the internet at all and download all the cricket stats and stuff to your machine and do lots of processing and use that and never use the cloud at all. So you could do it like that. It's got heaps of data source options, way more than what I just showed you. You can combine lots of different data sources. Here is all the SQL data sources. You've also got file data sources, and then you've got heaps. And these keep popping in more and more to every sort of service out there. So you this person just combines all the different data and gives themselves some view into a new world. Advanced queries, relationships, you can add the custom images I just talked about, and then you publish off to Power BI. I find it interesting they didn't use ClickOnce deployment, okay? But obviously it's not part of Microsoft Update, which I don't like, but when you open up the program, when it has its, when there's an update, it brings it down. All right, so we have this data tab in Excel, but this guy is the guy you'll do to a lot of, you'll start using this instead of using the data tab. I think I can imagine a day to a degree where most of this data stuff isn't there and it's all in this Power BI desktop type client. But its main goal is to be an offline client to the browser. All right. So let's go through a scenario of this Power user guy. So he's going to get some data. He's going to select some tables. He's going to create some custom columns. He'll do some modeling with the relationships. And then he'll create his report. He's going to throw in a chart, throw in a slicer, throw in a funnel, card images, all that type of stuff. And then he might do some advanced stuff, year-on-year model measures, some DAX expressions, okay? So this is like the person that would do very advanced expressions in Excel. Then he might want to publish up to Power BI, okay, once he's got all this right. And then he will then want to create a dashboard, and then he might want to schedule refreshing, so the data is always alive and up to date. That guy costs money. Okay, that is the first time that I've talked about anything that's not free. Then he might want to package up a whole group of reports, and that's a content pack for your organization, and that costs money. He might want to create a content pack with services, and then I want to just talk through, after I just walked through this scenario, just some tips and tricks I didn't cover in the scenario. Okay, let's go through. So he opens up this desktop client, this Windows client, okay, and then he presses get data, okay, similar to before. Get data, he chooses what he wants, and I've gone ahead and just done this on our data in the company. So you come through here, you choose SQL Server, you press connect, you come through and, I should mention, did anyone get up at 2 o'clock this morning and watch the keynote live from New York? No, not a soul? Jesus, tech is getting old, isn't it? Why? The younger versions of us would have been up at 2 o'clock, but there were some awesome announcements. At least now it doesn't matter. You can go to Channel 9 and watch it all. But there is now a store for Visual Studio Online, and it's now called Visual Studio Team Services. Has anyone thought what that acronym is? VSTS. Right. Yes, VSTS. I'm having deja vu. Is anyone else? VSTS, no? So anyway, what's old is new. So the reason they renamed it was because everyone was getting confused with Visual Studio Online. They thought it was Visual Studio Online. I find that amazing. Microsoft didn't think that one through. But anyway, so it's now called Visual Studio Team Services. Anyway, this TimePro application is in that store. We were first in the store. So anyway, you connect to TimePro, you then go on, and you choose your credentials, connect, and now we have all that data, all the tables that are in that database. So I'm going to choose what tables I want. I just want to see which guys are billing the most money or which are our best clients and different things like that. So I come through here and I press the button called load. Okay, so I've just connected to one SQL Server in this, just to make it simple, but I could have easily connected, and you're meant to connect to lots of things. If you think about companies, they do a better job if they integrate lots of data that isn't even their data. The way that Uber, you know how Uber has, we've got any Uber lovers? Who's an Uber lover? Oh yeah, about 30 or 40%. Uber has surge pricing, okay? And surge pricing is calculated from Uber bringing in lots of data that isn't their data. They bring in all these, they have to set up surge pricing by consuming all event data and all these other sets of data that isn't even theirs. So that's just one example. Anyway, you want to pull in all this data you can think of that might be relevant to your company, and then you create relationships between it. So this is pretty much Power Query that we have. And you might want to do some formatting, okay? So if you have this guy and his name is Constantino Beckeleg, then you might want to shorten that because it's screwing up some of your formatting. So you might want to say, well, how do I just take first letter, okay? So so what I could do is I could shorten the first name. Add a new column and you can just shorten that. And I'll just show you how to do that. Obviously, I haven't catered for what if they're Greek and they have a long last name, okay? Then I would end up with the first letter of both and my demo wouldn't work. Anyway, all right. So we come in here, they come in here and they want to do some modeling. So you come in here, you press new column and you enter this in. So it's just a simple expression, just like you do in Excel. Emp surname, the first character of the last, surname, the first character of the first name, and that's good. And then you end up with this column over here. And the column shows, you know, Kogan's, comma, A. Then that's kind of the first bit of the data modeling, and then you want to look at relationships. Now, in this particular database, there's clients and there's employees, and there's time, so there's emp time. And we want to have a relationship between the client to the employees and the emp time to the employees. So when we're looking at an employee, we can see how much time they're billing. So this pops open and I'm not sure myself whether relationship is the right word here, because they say relationship and you might be thinking SQL Server relationships. But you know, it is valid to have a relationship between time and client and employee, and emp time. But what they're trying to say is, which are the drill-through relationships you want? When you're looking at an employee, what do you want to drill through to? Or when you're looking at time, what do you want to drill through to? So you come through here, and if you look here, I've made this bigger. The whole guts of it is to say, look, make this relationship active. Now, in this case, I don't want that active. I want this one between these two tables active. So I click on that, and I turn that guy off. So, and then I press OK. And then I go to the one I care about, which is this guy, the time to the employee. And then I come down there, and I make that active. All right? That's just, maybe they could have put follow-through relationships or something else. But anyway, just be aware that's slightly different to what you might think. So you come through here, you press OK. Now, what if you're one of your tables, this is a common problem, your timetable or something, or, you know, we have timesheets. If they are missing records for weekends or, you know, everybody goes on holidays for a week or something, or public holidays. So the common thing is to create a table called dim date. I have a link off to our rule on how we do that, but that's a common way. I think if you were here for Greg Lowe's session yesterday, he says this is a terrible naming. You don't call it dim date. It's disgraceful. He wants it to be dim dot date, okay? And then I said to him, but when you do that, it puts an underscore there in Power BI. And he said, yeah, but that's a bug with Power BI. That's Power BI's problem. My thing is still right. You should still do this because when you're looking in SQL Server, you know how people justify their reasons. Anyway. So dim date, or you just call it day, whatever. What you want to do then is come into here, manage relationships, press new, and set up your relationship between the emp time or the timesheets and the new table you've made called dim date or date or whatever you want to call it. All right, and then you've set that up, and that's good, and then you press OK. So that's kind of how you'd set those type of things up. And that's most of it. That's most of the things that you would need just to get going. Now you'll need to make your report. And the way you make your report is you add visualizations. And I'm going to add a slicer, a bar chart, a pie chart, a card, a funnel, and an image. All right. So you come through here and you click, 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 and you're at this point. All right. It's nothing more than a few clicks. So are you happy with that? The first thing I look at when I look at something like this is I hate looking at data like this, the bottom one, without seeing the prior year. It always drives me crazy. I hate looking at even months of any billable time or something without the prior months looking there as well. And on one of the most popular pages on our site, which I'm always surprised at, is we have a page called Rules to Better Reporting Services. It beats all our .NET pages, it beats the whole kit. Getting caboodle. Anyway, so one of the rules on that is to always put a bar chart and show the prior 6 periods. So how do we compare with last year? Well, you would come in here and you'd start needing a little bit of DAX knowledge. So you come in here, you go new measure, and you put an expression here. Calculate sum of cell total and same period as last year with the date. And then if I just want you to be aware, if you are starting to do DAX stuff, you don't need to know MDX anymore. Does anyone know MDX in this room? Okay, so there's 6 or 7. Okay. Kiwi? The Kiwi. He just puts his hand, it doesn't. Who loves Australia? Put your hand up. He just loves putting his hand up. All right. So, if you had to do this in MDX, and obviously the Kiwi is the smartest person in the room, that is the equivalent. So that's a lot of work, okay? Right? No, he's saying it's no work at all. Okay. So DAX or MDX. So just be aware, I thought that MDX was completely out of the product, but because you can't do MDX, you can only do DAX, and so there's more and more DAX expressions coming. But if you want to, MDX is in the product if you want to drag data in from cubes and stuff. So it is there. And I've just put this in for completeness. My slides are very long, so you can grab all these slides and they have even more than what I talk about. But security, you just come in here, you enable this, and now you can do that. So just be aware, cubes are going to stick around, but Microsoft wants you to use, and I said this to James, you want us to use Tabula, right? Right. You don't want us to use cubes so much. Well, not for new projects, no. So why are cubes available in the standard, but if we want to use tablets in the enterprise? Because we've heard. We thank you for the feedback, okay? And then he said, watch this space, okay? So I think they're hearing. All right, so anyway, we're here now. If you come down here, you now get that extra field because I put that DAX expression in. It's pretty small, but sum of cell total last year, you click that guy, you put it in here, and then over here you can start filtering, and you'll notice there's an extra column, the black column here. All right, good, happy with that? So what I've walked through is that power user and the first five or six things. Now there's a few more things. So we've done all our modeling that we need to do, now we're ready to throw it up to Power BI on the cloud. All right, so we come into here, file, publish, publish to Power BI. You'll notice there's something else here, publish to Pyramid Server. Okay, we'll come back to a little bit of these other ones in a sec. But they're nicely working with others. So we sign in, we put our authentication in, we have a quick coffee, and the amount of data that we have, it's usually just a couple minutes, and then this will pop open, you click the link, and then you're alive. And now this, what you were seeing on the desktop, is now in the browser, and it's basically the same. So we've created the report, but it has no dashboards. So that creates the reports, but no dashboards. So how do you create a dashboard? Well, you come into here, and you click on this little plus, and then you enter that in here, and now we have a dashboard. Now, I think it's weird that you wouldn't go to the dashboard and then select the reports. But the way it works is the last dashboard you had, then you go to the reports themselves. So you select the dashboard, you go into the report, and then you'll see this little pin. You click the pin, and then that pin will throw it up onto the dashboard. It works a little bit reverse. Now, anyone got any comments on this? Okay, so there has been an update in the last week, and now you can do it in the way that that would be a bit more intuitive. You go to the dashboard and you select the reports. Okay, so that's good. And it's amazing how quickly all this is changing all the time. Okay, so now we have a dashboard. We've thrown a couple of reports onto our dashboard. That data is dead. It is not alive. So we need to make it come alive, and we need it to refresh periodically. We want the images that are on the dashboard to always be up to date. So we want to do refresh. Now you need to download the BI gateway, you need to schedule refresh, and the way you do it is you come up here, you select this Power BI personal gateway, you launch this thing, and then in here you set up. You go into the data set that you care about, and you click schedule refresh, choose the one you want, set up the time, how often you want it to refresh, and you're good to go. All right, great. Oh, this is for the Kiwis. Didn't even think about it. All right, great. So, Margaret, you're a Kiwi. You didn't put out your hand out. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, now we want to share our stuff. We've got it all working. We've got it refreshing. Now we want to share it with all the people in the pen. All this. They don't share their sheep. I want to tell a Kiwi joke, but I do want to come back next year. All right. So how do you share all your hard work? You've done this beautiful report. You want other people in the company to use it. The easiest way is Office 365. Okay? You just share a group. Now, if you're not, who is on Office 365 and they have that ability? Hands up. Okay, so only about 10 or 20% of the room, not very much. So the rest have to think about the other bits. We need to care about an organizational content pack. So an organizational content pack isn't hard to do. We're still just a power user. We come down here to the bottom left and we click get data. And we come in here and we click My Organization and we click Get and we say, I would like to create a content pack for other people to use. So you click Create Content Pack, you put your logo in, you put a title in, you select the dashboards, the reports, and the data sets, and you click Publish, and now you're good to go. You'll want to test that before you tell everyone about it, so you'll go into incognito mode, and then you'll say, oh, hello, here, there's a new pack, I can just take that, and I'll get all Bob's handiwork. So click that, and I'm good to go. All right. He's getting excited. All right. Okay, so external. So what if we want to just share reports with the entire world? Okay, no gates, no fences, everyone. So how do you do that? Because obviously that's something we thought about with some of our tools. All I'm going to tell you is it's very early days in this story. And a bit too rough and ready at this point in time. The tooling is immature. You've got to work with a Power BI team. You've got to potentially communicate with other people manually. You know, the average developer does not want to do that. There's just a couple of things. In the end, you've got to email these guys. If you really want to go down this route and get in the box, you can do it that way. It's just a bit of work. And this story is going to get better soon. Okay, so I'd just tell you to hang on for a while unless you've got a huge service that you want people to use. Okay, so that's done. Now, with regards to Bob the power user, there's just a couple of things I didn't fit in my little scenario, so I just want to tell you. So there's a few things you should just do. Set up data types in the query editor, and all you do there is with fields that you need to actually set the right data type in, you'd come into the dates, you choose that, you choose the date. Now, sorting is another issue. The first time you use this, you might see things like this, April, August, December, February, you want to fix that up. That's the same kind of story. You come into the field that you want to sort, you choose which way you want to sort it, so sort by column, come down here, calendar month, or however you want to do it, you choose calendar month, and then it will be January, February, March, April. Okay, there's a whole series of those little things to set yourself up with. There's another number three tips and tricks is the geo fields. So I should tell a story about a Kiwi. I don't know why there's so many Kiwis in my day today. But I thought this was the coolest things. And I have a friend in New Zealand, James Wells. And I showed him this because he loves technical stuff. He's all into BI stuff. And I said, look, you can do this. You come into address. This feature's just been enabled. And you'll see all your data like this. You've got a map of New Zealand with all these cool dots. And he goes, why would I want that? So I was really surprised because I thought everybody would love this. Who thinks this is an awesome feature? Who doesn't care for it much? So most in the room, I'd say 80% of the room, thinks this is cool. I will be interested to know if other clients think it's cooler. Okay. So the other thing you need to do is you need to get up to speed with DAX. It's really important. They're kind of shipping new expressions every few weeks. But median and, it's just expressions like Excel. So it's just a matter of learning how many there are and what's in there. So there's lots and lots of pieces in there. I've put in some links here to a whole series of other DAX functions that I want you to have a look at. And what's the last thing? Well, the query editor is essentially Power Query. Power Query is essentially a wrapper over the Kiwi language M, what they've bought. So it's just a wrapper over M. So when you want to do more advanced stuff, you will probably want to start getting a handle of this. Microsoft, which since this drives the whole thing, it's like building a tool where you can't see any SQL, I guess. And I can only guess they've completely hidden it because 99% of the work you do, you can just do in the tool. You actually have to go up to tools options and enable it so you can see what's going on under the covers with them. Okay, so get up to speed with that, read about that. All right, so I think we're done with this guy. We've gone ahead and he's got the data, he's modeled it and he's reported it and should be pretty happy. All right. So, I'm going to talk about the propeller heads, okay, which we have a few in the room. We have a number of, most of the solutions we do with reporting need some type of custom development. They've got REST services here in a certain format. So I wanted to talk about this. There's two main ways of pushing data into Power BI, and you can do it with just a web API or Azure Stream Analytics. And Azure Stream Analytics is really sexy. There's so many beautiful demos, but that is especially useful for IoT scenarios. I want to just focus on the web API and, you know, normal commercial databases. So we have a tool called Link Auditor, and I'll walk you through what we did with it. It is just a pretty simple tool. You give it a URL, and it scans your site and looks for broken links or dodgy HTML or breaking our CSS rules and things like that. So we kind of built this mainly for ourselves, and it has a series of static reports. And it's actually, the tool's built in Angular. And if you want to know how the tool was built, Adam Stevenson is down here. He ran Fire Bootcamp. We got it kicked off during Fire Bootcamp. So in 9 weeks, he built this tool and nearly killed him. But one of the things would happen is when we released it, a lot of people would email and say, hey, can I have a report that shows my links like this? And it was stuff we didn't care for. And you know, it's a free tool, so we didn't want to do it. But we did want to solve their problem. So this is the tool. You just go to Link Auditor, you put in a URL, and when it goes off, it uses Azure, scans it, and when you sign in, you'll see all your past scans. So here is, I'm just going to take one, this big one, David Barella, okay? And he's got 104,000 links on his site, okay? So now let's just say he wants to look at his data in a way that I haven't envisaged. So we wanted just to solve this problem when people would email us for a new report, just put an analyze button there and he can analyze his data any way he wants. And I can imagine this becoming standard in most UIs. You get some type of, you've got your data, but you want to see it in a completely different way. So analyze. So we've gone ahead and we've built this and we've added it into Link Auditor. There's the button there, analyze. And that kind of solved that problem of custom reporting. All right, because they're the only reports we had, 1, 2, 3, 4, essentially. Okay, so how did we do that? I want to walk you through doing it. Now, I know that I'm going to show you just two parts of it. I'm going to show you the setup that we had to do in Azure and the stuff we had to add to our Link Auditor Visual Studio project. Okay, there's just two parts of it. All right. Now, if you're not keen on seeing all the code, you can hold your nose, okay? It's just like eating broccoli. So this is the experience. You come in here, you click this guy, you log in, you sign in, and it asks, hey, do you give me permissions to everything? Nobody reads any of that. How do I continue? Yes, accept. So that, and then they end up with this. That is their experience at the moment. And so if they want custom reports, they click that analyze button, they sign in, they give it their permission, and now they've got this. They can now go and click a few things over here, and I'm just going to click a few things, click a few visualizations, and now you have that. And that's showing based on 3 fields. All right, so what's involved in that? Well, we have Link Auditor, our app, and it authenticates with AD, sends back a token, and then Link Auditor then sends all the data to Power BI with the token. That's it. How do you set that up? All right. Now, before I tell you this, I want to just tell you why we had to do this and why we couldn't do it another way. All right. Now, this is probably more important than the code. All right. If you're getting tired, everyone stand up just for one sec. Stand up. Quick stretch. Don't want you falling asleep. This is the only bit you want to remember. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's continue. So, feel better? Great. So, we couldn't use, because we tried to do this in a quick way. We really wanted to give them the analyze button without having to make some, go to some effort, because basically it took a couple of sprints to do this. We couldn't use this one, because obviously they're not members of our organization, so we couldn't use that guy, which would be nice. We did consider giving them, like, giving some, you know, we could kind of charge them or not charge them and say, here's a, we've set up a separate username and password you can use. Then we'd have to give them a lot of instructions. They'd probably give us a denial of service attack or something. But it is a possibility. It's a pretty ugly one. We could ask them, look, what you need to do is, export to Excel and then you manually upload and, you know, some stuff like that. Or we could put ourselves into the box with the services. And maybe that is something we will do in the future when it's a little bit more mature and we don't have to email people. But yeah, it could go in there. You guys might consider that. We didn't. So here's what you do. There's the story on Azure, so you're generating a key and delegating permissions. And then there's the story on Visual Studio where you add a NuGet package in, you write a method to authenticate, and then basically another method to send the data on. You come into Azure. This is the first part. You come into Azure, you go into AD, you select the company, you then go down here, you select the applications, add a brand new application, you add an SSW link auditor. You click on this guy, give it the URL, and now we have that. Then you'd set this up. That is the key just there. That's the key you need to copy over in Visual Studio. You then need to say, what is the duration for the key? And then you would want to give it your application permissions for Power BI. So when we click on this guy, you will have Power BI. We click that. And now we've got that, you give it all the permissions. I know it's like 20 clicks, but we have that. And now Azure is configured. All we have to do is open up Visual Studio now and then send all our data on. So that's the Azure story. So you open up Visual Studio and you find the package called Microsoft Identity Model Clients Active Directory. You click, you add that, and now we need a method to authenticate. And at that point in time when you've written, I'm not going to go through all this because I just, I know it's not for everyone, but you authenticate, and if you go back and click on your Analyze button, this is the UI you've rendered so far. So that little piece of code will give you this far. Now we still need to send all our data on. So this is just redirect from Active Directory coming back. And now we want to, this is the guts of it, sending all your data using basically all your, you send all your data as JSON on. And then you have this. So that is that, I didn't think it was a lot of code. There's basically three main methods. And now you've got this. Now, that is great if you want that to work with people's, if beyond your AD. Then you need to go and enable multi-tenant, and this is how you enable multi-tenant. You just come back to Azure, you copy that, and you come in, and now you can log on as any organization can log on. So that's it. Now, I want you to be aware, if you're a developer, the web API stuff is quite good. Now, I want you to, I'll quickly get off this because I want to show you one, the best thing that they have in the product. So, it's a little bit immature. I can't go ahead and create reports and add relations, and there are a number of limitations, but they're coming. Okay, let's talk about the roadmap. This roadmap is amazing, I think. And part of this is my dreaming, but I think these are educated guesses. So, they've gone ahead and acquired DataZen. When you go ahead and acquire a company, you cause yourself pain because you've got all these extra things. They acquired DataZen because they wanted all these mobile clients. So they also have reporting services. And by the way, DataZen is now free if you own SQL Enterprise, but it was a very expensive product. So I know you're probably going to say, well, it's only Enterprise, but it was a very, very expensive product. We've got SQL Server Reporting Services 2016. So this team have got to tie all this stuff in. Let's talk about that. So you've got DataZen. It's an on-premise server. It has beautiful clients for your mobile phones, which is really important to have, especially if you want more data going to more of your employees. HTML5, you can embed it into your app, and it's free if you've got Enterprise. The bad stuff is it's on-prem, not in the cloud, and you can't publish Power BI dashboards to Data Zen or Data Zen back to Power BI. There's not that story there. But expect that to come, I guess. Now, reporting services. This is my favorite. Oh, better late than never, hey? That's what I always say. Custom themes. It now will render properly in emails. It's a huge feature. It's a bug fix to many of us. They've got beautiful templates now. They've got responsive design. Can you believe it? We have responsive design in 2015. Okay. We've got parameters have improved, and we've got hierarchy support and stuff. It's Power View is included with reporting services. Now, here is, if you think about the whole Power BI and BI story that Microsoft have, is they have a hell of a lot of clients. They've got Excel, Power BI Designer, Report Builder, DataZen, Excel for, you know, separate one for SharePoint on-premise, and you've got SharePoint Online, and you've got these are our servers that we can have internally, SQL Server, Reporting Services, the DataZen Server, and SharePoint. And then we've got Power BI out there in the cloud. You've got all these mobile clients. There's a lot of stuff there, isn't there? It's a bit of a mess. No wonder we get confused with what we're meant. All I want to do is install one server on-premise and use one thing on the cloud and have three mobile clients. That would be a dream. So you can already see they're starting to, because from the time that I got this, if you look at that top row, Excel, SharePoint, and this that Silverlight thing, if you look at it now, it's gone. Okay, they've made some changes already. So we've got this. Now, what they need to do is a few things. They need to combine these guys as one server, and maybe they call it Power BI on-premise or some, obviously they call it, you know, Microsoft would call it a much larger, longer name. We need to combine these three things as one, and then we just have Excel and Power BI Report Designer or whatever they would call it. And it would be great if we didn't have these mobile clients and these mobile clients, you know, if they combined all that. That's kind of what you can hope for. Anyway, these are my suggestions to the team, and I've already put all these forward. I would love, you know, when you are looking at a great YouTube video, you can get the embed code and then go to your blog or a web page and documentation and put the embed code in, and then it renders, right? Wouldn't that be awesome if you can do that with a report, with a Power BI report? Okay? It's coming very soon. You'll have it by December. Okay? I didn't know that when I wrote these slides. It would be awesome if you can click on lots of parts, and then they, like, you're looking at some data, a record, and you want to link off to an action to go to CRM or some other internal system. Okay, done. You got it last week. Drill down. We haven't got that. Connectivity, we need that. I don't know if they're going to do this, but I can imagine that they will combine DataZen and Power BI together. They have to support this. This is the biggest thing they've got to do. They've got to give us a beautiful dev, test, production lifecycle. Okay? This part is a little bit immature. I spoke to James Phillips last night, and he told me that I'm going to get the one that I've been wanting, which is I want to go up and take it offline into a PBIX. That will help in the meantime for our dev test production capabilities. I want to be able to, when I make changes, save as a script as I go. I want Power Query to teach me M, like, you know, like a QBE teaches people SQL, that style, okay? Because I want Power BI on premises. Obviously, lots of people can't do cloud. I don't know what's happening there. And I just want one single on-premise server. Combine all those and give me one, okay? I expect that they'd be working on that one. They are really transparent. James Phillips has tweets a lot. They've got a great forum here of responding to user voice requests. Heaps of stuff up there. All right, now I'm going to show you something that I think separates this out from everyone. So I'll just come, so there's the developer center, there's the blog, there's the REST API. I'm going to show you this sexy gallery, okay? So, you know, when you think of a reporting solution, a lot of the clients, when I think about what we did, rules to better reporting services. A number of the things that we put in this rules to better reporting services was RDL changes. Look how many rules I wrote. But a lot of them are little bits of RDLs to make reports look good. Now, let's just say you're looking at this, but the client wants something. You know, clients are amazing. Sometimes they ask for the craziest things, but they want you to do that with, a different style. Their company is shoes, and they want that to look like shoes, or they want these to be 3D. It's really important that these bars are 3D because our logo is 3D and everything has to be 3D. They want little icons different, all this type of stuff. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if you could have a whole lot of these? So what they've done is they've made this gallery, and they are populating these with more visualizations all the time. Isn't this amazing? Are you blown away by this? Do you want to know what else? They went and got, you know, all their chart controls. Like I showed you the little chart controls. You click a few and you get a few. They put all of their controls up on GitHub. Every single one. And then the community started building these. And a lot of these are built by the community. So you can spend, I'm not sure what you call this, but it's like, what are they, data porn, okay? So you can come on here and check, like, which one do I want to, I'll show you this guy, this synaptic panel. Now, this is not done by that team, but they have one where they, check this out. How do I get onto it? I don't want to download it. No, I don't want that guy. There we go. I'll have to manually type that in. But check this out. This is just unbelievable. So you can draw your own things here. You can go into the gallery, and obviously this guy must have had a, you know, let's just say you go into a company and they're an airplane. And we don't have any of these, but you go to Boeing, and what they want is they want their data represented by the, you know, they've got all the seating data. I'm just guessing here. And they've made a visualization so that the data shows in the different seats. So you can visualize it rather than looking at reports of data. And then you can click on this Edit in Designer, and we can change this and make our own one. Like, it's just amazing, isn't it? Like, have you ever come across any other, I'll delete that. I'm good at deleting things, not good at creating things. Okay. But you can do all this and then make it exactly as you want it. Like, did you see the story in the paper this morning with those turkeys in Perth that had their, they'd made a car that was a table with beers on it, and they were driving around Perth, and the police wanted them. And they said, we already spoke to the police. When the police came up to us, they were laughing their heads off, and they gave us a warning. And the police go, no, we've been looking for them. Anyway, so they could make a BI dashboard of their new vehicle they've created and see which is the most popular seat. Yeah, terrible story, don't worry. Okay, but it is pretty awesome. I'm pretty blown away by all this stuff. And you can build your own and put it up there. Tell me another company that's ever done that. Impressive. Anyway, so I have a few things. In my last session, I gave out about 400 USBs, but I have another group, and some of the bags didn't have them, so I have a few more. So not heaps, but I have about 20 or 30, I think. So I'll give you those. In our history, we went through and we talked about the history. I gave you the three scenarios of the power user, the knowledge worker, the power user, and the developer, and we've talked about the roadmap. So hopefully you kind of see what he's talking about by putting a face on data to allow for more exploring. I'm happy to receive emails on this topic, or if you've got suggestions on Power BI and you want it onto the team, send it to me. Please give me a great subject, because I get a lot of emails, something like attended tech it or something. Thank you, guys.